Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Now we're going to do something a little bit different this morning. I've been having a particularly rich time with the Lord in recent weeks and days. Hardly knowing how I can convey to you the things that the Lord has been conveying to me. What I felt He was leading me to do this morning is to have a dialogue between a believer and the Lord. So, when I'm over this side, I'm going to be the believer. Not myself, not yourself. It's going to be a sort of a composite believer who goes through different attitudes, different issues that the Lord deals with him about and that he wants the Lord to speak into. And when I'm over this side, I'm the Lord speaking to the believer. So when I do anything like this, you just know, well, it's got to be the anointing. But we just trust the Lord. So let's just pray together, as I really believe that God wants to give us revelation of some of the truths that we've heard about in recent weeks to really impact our hearts so that they find further expression in our lives. Lord, we just pray now for that spirit of revelation to be upon us. That, Lord, we're not here to play games, we're not here to entertain, we're here to really grasp hold of the truth and see your truth impacting our lives in greater and greater measure. So we thank you for the anointing. I thank you for the anointing on me as I speak, the anointing on all of us as we listen, that we really will touch your heart and know your heart touching our hearts this morning in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. So we start with the believer. Lord, I get so frustrated with myself. You have died. But Lord, I want to please you in so many ways, and for a while it seems that I do that, then I do something and it all appears to go wrong, and I just get frustrated. It's as if I can't be as consistent as I want to be. You have died. Well, I know I have died, Lord, but you see, you don't understand. You have died. But Lord, I want to serve you. I want to really please you. I want to do with my life what will really honor you. You have died. But Lord, I want you to use me in really significant ways. I want to see you use me to bring many people to the Lord. You have died. Yes, but Lord, what has that got to do with wanting to be really used by you and bringing people to the Lord. Surely that's a good thing to do in the service of your kingdom. You have died. But Lord, I want to impact the lives of other people. I want to see the sick healed. I want to see people being set free from the things that really afflict them. You have died. But Lord, surely these are good motives, aren't they? They're good intentions. They're good purposes. Surely, Lord, these are your purposes. You have died. But Lord, what has that got to do with wanting to serve you and to please you and to be used by you and to see people come into the kingdom and see people healed? You have died. Lord, what are you saying? You have died. There's something here, Lord, that I'm not getting. You have died. That's what you're not getting. What do you mean, Lord? You can't save anyone. You can't heal anyone. There's nothing good that you can do because you have died. But Lord, how can I serve you then? By knowing you have died. But Lord, does it mean I'm not to have any of these objectives? Precisely. But isn't it a good thing for me to want to see people saved and healed? Who by? Well, I suppose you're the only one who can do it, you suppose. Okay, Lord, but you're the only one who can do it. But what's my part? You have died. Well, what are you getting home to me, Lord? One who has died can't do anything. So if you know you have died, you won't try to do anything. Yes, Lord, but you say in your word that we've died to sin. Well, I know that you say that in my flesh there's nothing good, so I've died to sin. At least I try to reckon myself dead to sin. Well, that's the work of my spirit within you. But let me ask you this. Can you do good things with your flesh? Well, Lord, you say in your word there's nothing good about the flesh. That's not what I asked you. I said, can you do things that seem to be good in your own strength? In other words, with your flesh. Well, yes, Lord. With my natural abilities, I can do all kinds of things. Some of them must be good. I believe some of them are good. Is that your estimate or mine? What are you saying, Lord? Well, you do all kinds of things in your own strength because you think they are good things to do. But if you do them in your own strength, you do them in the flesh. And that demonstrates that you don't realize you have died. You mean, Lord, some of the good things I do are worth nothing? Precisely. But Lord, how do you teach that in your word? I really don't understand this. Well, you have read that on the day of judgment, I will say to some, I never knew you. And these will be people who say that they healed in my name, spoke in my name, prophesied in my name, did all kinds of good things in my name. But I will say to them, I never knew you. Haven't you ever wondered why I said that? You mean these are people that did all those things in your name, but in their strength and not in obedience to you? Precisely. But Lord, surely it's the works themselves that must please you. I mean, aren't you pleased to see the way people's lives are impacted when people speak in your name? Dear child, in your flesh, there is nothing that can please me. Nothing. You've repented of the sinful things of the flesh, but you've never repented of the good things of the flesh. That's why the flesh still has such a hold on your life. That's why you still do not really appreciate you hide. You still want to serve me with your flesh, with yourself. And what did I teach my disciples? You can only follow me if you deny yourself. Not serve me with yourself. You see, that's the mistake so many have made. They want to serve me with themselves. They want to do things for me with their strength. It gives them a sense of accomplishment. And they feel pleased because of what they have done. But Lord, surely that pleases you. No, it doesn't please me at all. But Lord, why doesn't it please you? The only thing that pleases me is when you trust me, when you trust in my spirit, when what you do is my spirit working through you. Whatever you do in your own strength for me is worth nothing. I made that clear, that apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do something for me, you're doing it apart from me. You're not doing it in me, and I'm not doing it in you. But when I do it in you, then you bear much fruit that will last, because it's the work of my spirit and not the work of your flesh. But Lord, surely it's better that people should be doing these good things than doing nothing. Well, in one sense that may be true, because I don't want any of my children to be doing nothing, but in another sense it can lead to a lot of self-deception. What do you mean, Lord? Well, you see, when people do things for me, they make those things the measure of how much I am pleased with them, how much I honor and accept them in their lives. Don't you see, child, that is a form of self-righteousness, which is as rags in my sight? Whatever you do in your own strength, you do in your righteousness, not mine. But Lord, I know you are my righteousness. Well, trust me then. And realize that if I am your righteousness, you have no righteousness of your own. So you cannot do righteous works of yourself if you have no righteousness of your own. Only the way I work through you can produce the works of true righteousness. But Lord, that seems hard. No, it's not hard, it's just the truth. I want to set you free from yourself. And while you're pleased with yourself, you're not denying yourself. While you're thinking that you can do things out of your own initiative, then you will continue to be plagued with self-righteousness. But Lord, at least I've got the right motives, haven't I? At least I've got the right desires. At least I've got the right intentions. Now you've hit something really important. You see, if you do something in your own strength, what is your motive? Well, my motive is to glorify you, is it? If I say that to glorify me is to deny yourself, how can you think that you glorify me by doing things yourself? Don't you realize that when you do things in your own strength, you're doing them for your glory? You're doing them to satisfy yourself, not me. You're doing them because you think if you do them, That will make me good. That will make you good in my eyes and good in the eyes of other people. Is that really to be your motive, that you look good? Well, Lord, I want to have a good reputation. Well, when I became man, I was a man of no reputation. So why do you want a good reputation? Doesn't that in itself say that you're still concerned about yourself and how you appear to others? Well, Lord, other people can be so sort of critical and judgmental. Like you mean? Well, no, I didn't mean that at all, Lord. I mean, you know, sometimes I get so fed up with the way people criticize and speak against you, and it seems as if they're looking at you under a microscope all the time, looking to see if there's anything that's wrong. Do you do that to other people? Is that how you ever look at other people? Well, I try not to, Lord. I didn't say, did you try? See, if you try, that's you, isn't it, in your strength. Say, do you ever look at anybody with judgment or criticism? Because if you do, I can tell you why. Why, Lord? Because you don't reckon that you have died. But what has that got to do with looking at others in judgment? Listen. If you judge others, you are still living in self-righteousness because you think you are better than they are. Your focus is still on yourself. And when they criticize you and you feel all wounded and offended and hurt, it just shows you that you do not know you have died. Because if you knew you had died, you wouldn't react like that. When people did things to you, you would just meet those things with the truth. Well, I have died. So they needn't affect me at all. You see, the only righteous things you can do are through the righteous one who lives within you. And the righteous one who lives within you does not judge, does not condemn, but is merciful. So you will know that you have died when you stop judging and criticizing, being negative, and instead, like me, you will be merciful and gracious and long-suffering and patient and kind. But Lord, I fall so far short of who you are and the way you work. Yes, but I am alive in you. Don't you see this is the whole point? That it isn't just that you have died, but you have died and been raised to a new life with me, and I am living in you, but my life in you can only be expressed through you in as much as you live in the truth that you have died. Because although I live in you, you will still be trying to please me. You will still be trying to do the work. You will still be trying to be saving people and healing people and doing all manner of good things for my kingdom until you realize that apart from me, you can do nothing. You would try to organize your life, you would try to organize the church, you would try to organize others, until you realize that you have died and that only I can build my church. And it's for me to organize the life of others, not you. But Lord, this seems such a demanding way to live. Demanding? It's not demanding at all. You demand things of yourself when you try to accomplish, when you try to achieve, when you think that you have got to save, you have got to heal, you have got to do this, you have got to do that. That's demanding. I'm saying, all you have to do is trust me. That's not demanding. That's liberating. Because whenever you trust me, I will always work through you. But Lord, this is all very well and good. It sounds right because it's coming from you, but I mean, how many live this way? How many churches operate that way? Not as many as I would like. But this is why I'm teaching you these things. Don't look at others and justify what you do by their failures. You look at my word and see how I want you to live in the power of my spirit, not in your own strength. But Lord, all this denying myself, that's what seems such a struggle. Every day I've got to deny myself. Only until you know you've died. When you know you have died, you will have no problems in denying yourself. That's the very thing I'm teaching you. Until you know that in your heart, your Christian life will always seem a struggle. It will always seem difficult to follow me. But Lord, what about the enemy? I mean, he seems to put so many obstacles in the way. That's what makes it difficult. Don't you have authority over all the power of the evil one? Yes, Lord, but you see, it doesn't work, does it, when you fight the enemy yourself? It's my authority you exercise over him. That's the only thing that causes him to be defeated. If you fight the enemy will give you a good struggle. But if you exercise my victory over the enemy, he's got no response. You see, it's the same with your flesh life. If you fight the flesh, you stir up the flesh, and you only strive and strive and strain and struggle more and more to achieve and to accomplish, and still you fail. But when you trust me, you give up struggling, you give up straining, you give up striving. You know you cannot please me except by trusting me to speak through you, to work through you, to express my life through you. Don't you understand that the enemy will do anything to get you to do good things? Good things, Lord. But the enemy is evil. The enemy doesn't want me to do good things. Oh, yes, he does. You see, if he can't cause you to sin, He'll tempt you to do good things in your own strength. That's why so many become deceived. That's why so many become full of self-righteousness. That's why so many, even believers who love me, become so proud of what they do in my name. They're actually being stirred up by the enemy to do things in their strength. Because the enemy knows that whatever they do in their strength will not bear eternal fruit. And while they're doing things in their own strength, they will not be doing them in the power of my Spirit. So that's something about the devil that a lot of people don't understand. He will do anything to get you to be soulish rather than spiritual. He'll do anything to get you working in the natural so that you don't work in the supernatural. Well, Lord, he's a lot more devious than I realized. Don't I reveal in my word that he's the deceiver of the brethren? Deceiver of the brethren. How does he deceive the brethren? You see, most of those who are my children, they actually know what sin is. They know when they sin and when they don't sin. But what they don't discern, and the way they are so easily deceived, is into doing good things that they want to do. Good things for me. Instead of in my spirit. And then they even become pleased, satisfied with what they've done. And the enemy is laughing. Because my spirit has been left out of what they have done. Lord, these are hard things to learn. No, they're not. They're not hard. This is just different from how you've thought and what you've understood in the past. It's not hard, in fact, it's much easier. But it's seeing you set free from thinking that you can do anything yourself to please me. Well, Lord, I've got just one more question for you. How can I please you then? By knowing that you have died. So that no longer do you try to do things in your strength. But you listen to me. And like a true child of God, you follow what my Spirit is leading you to do. That you never take the initiative into your hands, but you obey me. Well, Lord, that's fine, but it means I've really got to be able to hear you clearly. And so you will if you stop doing things in your own strength. It's because you so often do things in your own strength that you find it so difficult to hear what I'm saying to you. You just go rushing into one thing after another without even stopping to hear what I'm saying to you. That's the very thing I'm talking about. That you don't reckon you have died. So now things can be different. Now you can please me by not trusting in yourself, but by trusting solely in me. You will hear my voice. You will know what I'm wanting you to do. I will ensure that. And not only will I ensure that you hear what I want you to do, but I will empower you to do it. Because that is why my Spirit lives in you. And child, let me tell you one more thing. What I have explained to you is how I lived when I was on earth. I did nothing myself. I did only what I saw my Father doing. I spoke no words of my own, but only the words my Father gave me to speak. I never did anything out of my own will, but only if it was the will of my Father. So completely submitted to him was I. You see, because I knew that this is the way for you to live, it's the way I lived. And what I did for you on the cross, what I did for you in my resurrection, what I did for you in sending the power of my Spirit into your life was to enable you to live as I lived. Do I not say that anyone who believes in me will do what I have been doing? Well, I didn't live to please myself. I didn't do anything myself. I didn't speak anything myself. It was all the Father speaking, working, acting through me. The Father and I are one. And now, beloved, what I want you to understand is that you and I are one. And just as I live dependent upon the Father, so you now live dependent upon me. So I don't want you to speak for me. I want to speak through you. I don't want you to work for me. I want to work through you. I don't want you to do things that you think are good. I want you to obey what I ask you to do. Because only what I've asked you to do is what I planned for you to do. And when you take the initiative out of my hands, you are doing what you have planned, not what I have planned. I have called you and I have chosen you to do what I have planned. Oh Lord, when you speak like this, I feel I've hardly begun. Well, that's a good place to start. With a new beginning, where now you will act differently in the future than you have in the past. And instead of being full of your own spirituality, you will be full of me. Slow to speak, but quick to act. Let's all stand. Thank you. You have died.
Thank you, Jesus.
I believe the Lord is saying, stop trying to assert yourself. Some of you think you've got to assert yourself if you're going to be people of faith. And the Lord is saying, stop trying to assert yourself. Some of you are trying to be strong. And the Lord's saying, stop trying to be strong, because my power is made perfect in your weakness. Stop trying to make yourself stronger. No, make yourself more dependent upon me, not stronger in yourself. The Lord is saying, stop striving to achieve and to accomplish. I want to teach you the rest of faith, at trusting in me. Stop being so prickly. Stop getting upset and feeling offended and hurt when people do things to you because you have died. I warned you that they'd persecute you as they persecuted me, that they'd hate you as they hated me. So don't get upset about it. But rejoice, like my word says. Rejoice and be glad. Be like those first saints who rejoice to suffer for the sake of my name. They counted it a privilege because they had died and were living in the good of their new life. Hallelujah. Just spend a few moments responding to all that the Lord's been saying. Various things would have been personal to each one of us. Things that we could identify with. Now you're missing the point, you see, if you're praying about yourself and saying, oh Lord, change me, oh Lord, make me better. No, 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 you have died. He doesn't want to change you. He doesn't want to make you better. He doesn't want to reform you. He's exchanged his life for your life. He's not trying to reform your flesh. He's not trying to reform you as a person. He's saying, no, I want you to reckon you have died so that you deny yourself and you let me express my life in you and through you. Stop self. Stop beating yourself up and trust in me with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Consider me in all your ways and you will have life for your soul. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, just let revelation be taking place in every heart now. That we're not trying to put ourselves to death. We thank you, Lord, that when you went to the cross, we went with you, that we were crucified with you, that that is a historic event that has taken place, that we have died and our lives are now hidden with Christ in God. I praise you, Lord. I bless you. I give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Hallelujah. Puratapariya leto bakarasato bakarasito ba. Baparasataria leto bakarasito di sando bakarasito di sandama. Baparasataria leto bakarasito di sataria leto bakarasito di sandama. Bambarasataria leto bakarasito di sandama. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, it is true. It is done. It is finished. It is accomplished. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It is no longer I who live. It is no longer I who live. It is no longer I who live. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I live by faith in the one who now lives within me. I live by faith in the one who will speak through me, in the one who will work through me, in the one who will please the Father through me, in the one who will glorify the Father. Come on, Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. Oh, Ratapara, thank you, Lord. You want to liberate us from ourselves. You want to liberate us from all that striving. You want to liberate us from all that struggling to try to think we've got to make ourselves into something, that we've got to try to be something out of our own strength. Lord, we can't be anything apart from you. We can't do anything apart from you. But we thank you that we live in you. And you live in us. Praise you. Praise you. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When weekend before last, I was in Italy. The other speaker, actually, he's a South American, but he's living in America and is also the principal of a Bible college there. And I was talking about what it is to be dead and raised to new life, and he was talking about the same thing. It was wonderful that it all sort of flowed in session by session, one after another. And while we were in conversation, he told me that what he does with the students in his Bible college to help them really get the revelation that they have died. I told this, I think, to the second years, is that he gets them to take a photograph of themselves in the position on the cross and to print that out, sort of A4 size, cut round the figure, make a wooden cross, and nail this photograph of themselves to the cross. And they have to put it by their bedside. And the last thing they do at night before they go to sleep is to look at this figure of themselves on the cross and to say, "You have died." And they have to leave that representation there by their bed until they've got the revelation in their heart and they don't need that physical reminder anymore. See, it is such a formative thing, and we can know it in our heads, But as I said to you a couple of weeks ago, it's getting it in the heart that is the key thing. I've tried. I can't do anything, so I don't have to try to do anything. If I'm trying to do something, then I'm not reckoning that I've died. So just see yourself, you know, pictorially on that cross. It's not that you crucify yourself. What he was teaching those students is when he died, you died on that cross with him. You can't put yourself to death. You're having to recognize that you have died, not you're trying to put yourself to death. What the scripture says is that we are to put to death the misdeeds of the body, because your body hasn't died, and the body is still tempted to sin, as I was explaining to the second years yesterday. So we have to resist all of that. This is what Paul is talking about in chapter 6 of Romans. Oh, we praise you, Lord, we bless you. And when you went to that cross, you took us with you. Just listen to what he says then in chapter 8 of Romans. Those who live according to their own natural desires are always intent on getting what they want for themselves. That is their focus. But those who truly want to please God by being led by His Spirit make Him their focus. Sinful thinking leads to spiritual death. But to allow your life to be under the control of the Holy Spirit will result in sharing in God's life and knowing His peace. Sinful thinking is totally against God's will. Such attitudes show there is no submission to Him and His purposes. For you cannot serve God while your mind is full of sinful, selfish thoughts. That would suggest you are being controlled by your desires, not His. However, this is not the case with you. You are not under the control of selfish, sinful desires, because you have surrendered your life to God to be under the power and influence of His Spirit who actually lives in you. You would not be a Christian at all if you did not possess the Holy Spirit. But because His Spirit is in you, Christ is in you. Your body may still crave for self-indulgence, but your spirit has now been brought to life by His Spirit, so that in your heart you want to do what is right before God. The Spirit who lives in you is the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. If He could do that, then He is certainly able to give God's life to your natural bodies, because His Spirit lives in you. This means that you no longer are obliged to obey your sinful desires, my brothers. To do that would lead to spiritual death. Now you have God's Spirit in you, enabling you to rule over any lingering sinful desires to indulge your fleshly instincts. So the Spirit enables you to enjoy real life, not death. You see, those who live as God's sons are happy to be led by God's Spirit. So when He came to live in you, He did not lead you back to your past life, making you a slave of fear again. No, you received the Spirit that enables you to live as a son of God. You can call Him Father, my Father. The Holy Spirit urges us to remember that we are God's children, to know this deep in our hearts. For if we know that we are His children, then we know also that we are His heirs. Yes, we are heirs of God and inherit all His blessings along with Christ. We may have to face cost in being obedient to Him, but this is only so that we will also share eternally in His glory. Now you can see why I consider my current predicament as a minor inconvenience compared with the wonderful glory that will be revealed in us. Why, even creation itself is in suspense, longing for God's sons to reveal who they are. You see, it was His will that His purposes for His creation would be frustrated until this happens. People did not choose this frustration for themselves.
It was imposed on them by God, because creation can only be liberated from bondage, from that death principle we see at work all around us, by being brought into the liberty that God's children enjoy because they know and reflect His glory. Everywhere around us, it seems that creation is groaning, just like a woman about to give birth. There is even a sense in which we believers are also groaning inwardly. Although we know the Spirit is already at work within us, we long for the time when we would go to be with the Lord as His sons, when we experience the resurrection of our bodies. This is the hope we have because of the salvation we have received. You cannot see now that for which you hope, because your hope refers to that which lies in the future. If we could experience what we hope for, that would not be true hope. How can anyone say he already has what he hopes for? No, we have to wait patiently for what God has promised us in the future. Similarly, we depend on the help the Holy Spirit gives us because of our weakness. We are so weak in ourselves that we do not even know how to pray. Yet the Holy Spirit Himself prays in us and for us, sometimes with such intensity that we find ourselves groaning. No words can express the depth of what He is working in us. God searches our hearts, and He certainly knows what He causes His Spirit to pray for us as His saints, the people He has set apart for Himself. His Spirit will always pray in and through us according to God's will. We can be sure then that in everything God is working for the welfare of those who love Him, those He has called according to His purpose. He knew who would be His because He decided before He created us that He would have a people who would be like His Son. Those who would live as His brothers and sisters. That is why He has called you called you as part of His eternal purpose. This is why, having called you, He made you totally acceptable to Him. This is why you are destined for the glory that is already yours in Christ. How can we respond to such wonderful truths? If we are part of God's divine will, how can any opposition prevent His purposes for us? So intent is He on seeing His plans fulfilled. He did not protect His Son from the necessary cost of giving His life for us all, because through His grace He wanted to give us everything that belongs to Christ. Yes, what He has, we are to have. He died, was raised back to life, and is now seated in glory at God's right hand, all for our benefit. His blood liberates us, His Spirit enables us, and speaks on our behalf. So who could ever separate us from God's love for us, a love He has so dearly demonstrated already? Do you really think God has forgotten all about you because you experience trouble or find the going tough or because you have to suffer persecution of some kind? Do you really think God has stopped loving and caring for you because there is famine or you are in great need or you are in danger even of losing your life? It was written, it was for your sake that we face death, and we are as sheep that are being led away to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than victorious through Him, for He has already won the victory for us and demonstrated such love for us. I am totally convinced that death cannot separate us from Him or His love. Neither can anything that could ever happen to us in this life. No angels can stand in the way of God's personal love for us, nor can any demons prevent that love. Nothing in the present, nor anything that could happen in the future, will be able to destroy God's love for us. There is no spiritual power, nor any created power, that will ever be able to separate us from God's love for us that has already been so clearly expressed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. We praise You, Lord. We bless You, Jesus. What a wonderful Lord. Oh, Rasatapara. Come on, let's just praise Him. Praise Him with all your heart. Oh, we thank You, Jesus. Oh, You have saved us. You have saved us from ourselves, Lord. Hallelujah. You have saved us from the enemy. You have saved us from deception. You have saved us from self-righteousness. You have saved us from trying to please You in our own strength. Oh, Lord, You have saved us. Hallelujah. We give You glory. We give You honor. We give You praise. Hallelujah. Thank You that now You live in us to express Your life through us, to fulfill Your purpose through us. We give You all the glory. We give You all the honor. We give You all the praise. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Pura la basata para zata pa karazito ba. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Pura la bazata barazata barazato. Oh, rala bazandaria lero bakarazita. You do not have to fight with yourself. If you're fighting with yourself, you still haven't died. You haven't reckoned yourself as dead. So come on, you don't have to fight yourself. You're not fighting the flesh. You are reckoning yourself dead. You are praising God that you have died, that your life is now hidden with Christ in God. He has set you free. It is for freedom. Christ has set you free. And you are called to be free. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. Oh, come on, get excited about Jesus. Come on, Lord. Come on, Savior. You are my master. Sin is not my master. You are my master. Oh, rala bazata barazito risatuba. Baparazatari alero bacarazito risato bacarazinoma. Bazandari alero bacarazito risatuba. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Pura la bazata barazito risatuba. Balandari alero bacarazito pelatuba. Pura la bazatari alero bacarazito ba. Boparazatari alero bacarazito risandoma. Boparazatari alero bacarazito pelatuba. While I was preparing for this morning, God said something to me about judgment, about judging. Put it in a new way. It didn't really come out in what I was saying earlier, but he's just reminded me of it. The Lord is alone the judge. He is the judge of the living and the dead. Can we all agree on that? That he says all judgment belongs to the Son. And he put it like this. If you ever dare to judge someone, you are judging me. Because what you are saying is that I am not judging that person in the right way. You are making yourself out to be a better judge than I am. I'd never looked at it quite like that. Lord, we know there's nothing we can do better than you. We know that the way that you deal with each one of your children is precisely right. And that we've never got any cause to criticize or judge you for what you are doing with others around us. So, Lord, we ask you to help us to apply this truth, because it's part of this revelation of being dead to ourselves and alive in Christ. Lord, we thank you that you are dealing with each of the people around us in precisely the right way. And thank you that we can pray for one another and encourage one another and build one another up in love, but never criticize and judge one another. Thank you that such judgment is right outside the covenant that we have with you and with one another.
So we praise you, Lord. Just as you are dealing with every other person here in precisely the same right way, so thank you that each one of us can say, Lord, thank you that you are dealing with me in exactly the right way. That you know what you are doing in me. You know what you are confronting me with. You know what, how you are wanting to lead me into a greater revelation of your truth and into a greater liberty and freedom in the Spirit. And Lord, just as I want to respond to all that you're saying to me, so I pray now for all the others around me, for all those who share life with me in the same body. Pray, Lord, that every one of us will respond willingly, freely, speedily to what you're saying, that we won't fend off anything, any revelation of the truth that we need to face, but Lord, we will really take on board what it is you're saying to us. And thank you, Lord, for the immense fruit that is going to be produced in these coming months as we live in the good of what you're saying, that when we stop doing things in our own strength and everything we do is in the power of your Spirit, thank you that there's going to be so much more fruit. Thank you, Lord, that it's going to be fruit that will last. Thank you that there will be so much more glory. We thank you already, Lord, for the fruit that is being produced. We thank you already for the way in which you are being glorified. But Lord, we know that there is room for so much more of your glory to be revealed in us and through us, and so many more ways in which others can be liberated from darkness and brought into light, can be saved from being sinners and restored to the glory that they have lost. And we just give you all the glory, Lord. Thank you. We can't save people. We can't heal people. We can't do anything in our own strength, but you can, Lord. And we want you to work through us in such a way that we see more and more saved, more and more healings, more and more signs and wonders that demonstrate who you are, more and more freedom in the Spirit, more and more lives being completely transformed, more and more of that exchange of life taking place, not I, but Christ in me. And we give you all the glory, we give you all the honor, we give you all the praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. Come on, just lift your hands. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Worship him with all your heart. What a mighty God. What a mighty Lord.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.